Let's go. Can't get up, you know I'm slipping, falling. Can't get up, you know I'm slipping, falling. I got to get up, get back on my feet so I can tear shit up. Hey, yo, I'm slipping, falling. Hey, that's my shit. We'll let that play for a little minute. Put some good vibes out here into this world. Hope everybody that's tuning in is okay. If you fucking with this song, you gotta hit that applaud button if you listening to this on Anchor. Definitely hit that 5-star rating. Right now we on a mission to get it up to 100 ratings in less than a week. I was gonna say I wish you guys could reply. This is a little bit different than YouTube, but you can reply. Look on the screen and you will see where it says leave a voice message. You can holler at me directly. If you got some show topics, if you got something you just want to say to add to this episode or a future episode or anything like that, hit that voice message and hit us up. But we definitely had to put them positive vibes out in the air real quick, you know, before we get into a couple of these topics that's been going on. Welcome to the No Offense Podcast, the one and only. You definitely are tuned into one of the most hated podcasts. And we the most hated because we damn near the greatest. But first, I got to start off. I got to put my prayers in the air for Slim 400 from Bompton, but you know, from Compton, California. Unfortunately, it's being reported that he was shot over or around 10 times on Spruce Street in a quote-unquote attack. Now, they said they took him to the hospital. He went through surgery and was in critical condition. They got him back down to stable, but I haven't heard any reports since then. Now, by the time this come out, ain't no telling what the reports may be, but that's definitely the update of what's going on right now. So I want to put my prayers out there for that man, especially after I seen the interview that he did with Adam from No Jumper, and he was just basically talking about his motivation and everything from his grandma, you know, basically putting that fuel on his ass to really get up there and get out the hood and try to do something with himself. Now, for people that don't know, me and him did do an interview a while back on my YouTube channel with Doc Hicks TV, and he seemed like a cool, humble dude. But a lot of times, the first time interviewing people or when people being recorded, a lot of times they be a little bit stiff, you know what I mean? So, but he was a cool dude. But that interview was about Tekashi and some other shit that was going on at that time. But it's fucked up, you know, regardless to wherever he got shot at, that was fucked up, period. You know, but when I seen that he got hit up on Spruce Street, I had to double back because I'm like, damn, that's where he from. That's damn near, I don't know if that's the exact street, but that's damn near the street that I always hear him speak about, saying that's like the 400 block of where he was raised at. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is his hood. And you know, we just lost Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace to him. It just once again brings us back to that conversation about once you make it or damn near make it or got something going for yourself, got a little notoriety, should you be back in the hood? See, my thing is, I know where a lot of the confusion comes from. You get up on your grind, you get things moving, you got some money making, you move physically up out the hood. That's all you know. That's where your people is at. So you feel comfortable going back. Now, I'm not just speaking directly on his circumstances because no information has came out. I'm just talking about in general the reason why in hip hop we have so many people that get killed in their neighborhood. I don't think people really paid attention to it until Bootsy said it, but it had been going on well before Bootsy talked about rappers getting killed in their own neck of the woods. Because at the end of the day, one thing that you notice, for anybody that's successful, you get more love from people that don't know you. You have people that don't know you that's willing to go to bat for you, try to help you out. But 9 times out of 10, they want to get down on the team, but they're willing to go to bat for you and do things that people that's close to you will not do. A lot of times, and we always talk about psychology on this channel in relation to hip-hop, a lot of times the people that's closest to you want to see you doing good, but they don't want to see you doing better than
them. Nigga,
it's
real.
A sick mentality that we got to get past. Maybe 1 in every 2,000-3,000 people that's close to somebody be cool with seeing their homie or their homegirl really blow up and be successful without them even feeling entitled to some type of financial gain or something, you know, get some up out the pot from what that person have cooked up. Because every time they see you and they go out the house and they look across the street and see the house that you was raised up in or down the block or whatever the case may be, and they still stuck there, it eat them up inside because it reminds them of their failures. And they may not be a failure.
Shit.
Maybe they just have not caught their blessing yet. But every time they see you, every time they hear a song, someone wearing your merch, anything like that, that inner hate bubbles because they like, damn, why that person? He not no different than me. Why him? Then it goes to why he haven't came back and got me. We fought in the sandbox together. I helped him do this. I gave him a dollar one day when he didn't have no lunch money. And we know what hate breed. Hate is more of an internal thing. When they see you, you driving by, you looking good or got your life together, that's an internal hate that they have for you. But you know, after so much, they will start doing things to try to sabotage what you got going on. So that hate will turn to like whispering lies in other people's ears or directly try to sabotage what you have going on. But if that don't work, the very next step for a real dangerous hater is to try to get you up out of here. And my thing, this don't just apply to men. This applies to women as well, because it can get very dangerous dealing with a hater. You got to keep your antennas up and keep them in that negative energy from around you, because you'll start wondering why things are going left when everything was going up. It's because of that hater. To me, damn near hate is something that should be diagnosed, because it runs deep. It super runs deep. I know hip hop don't have no coalition, no union or something like that. But within these artists that's within the game, when y'all talk to each other, besides just talking to each other about money and business, check on people's well-being, see what's really going on with them. If you have that type of relationship with them, have real conversations. There's nothing wrong with having real conversations. Every day is not about turning up and getting high and getting drunk. And I'm not trying to preach. That's just real shit. Everybody got to stay on their toes. I know a lot of people and a lot of artists nowadays are doing things independent, but definitely for the artists that sign into these labels, it need to be in their contracts where you give them an ultimatum within a certain period of time that they have to move about their local area. I done seen Smoke Campino and a couple different artists in the past couple weeks talk about when different artists go online showing $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, all they watches and diamonds and stuff, and like, hey, I'm doing this to motivate the hood. I'm doing this to motivate the youth. What you doing at the end of the day, you motivating the jack boys. You motivating the niggas to come try to knock you down or come rob you. Because a lot of them not really doing it for motivation. They really trying to shit on somebody, or they trying to impress some female, just to be real. But they saying they doing it to try to motivate somebody. And you don't have to worry about your fans, the people that truly love you, hurting you. You got to worry about them fans that's off in the shadows in them states that you got to go to that's really haters. Or even the people at home that don't really know what you got. Then you show them what you got, and they want something from you. And if they can't get it from you, they want to stop you from getting it. Because unfortunately, anytime we have these type of discussions or topics, Nipsey Hussle name gonna definitely come up. Now, I gotta applaud his family, everybody from Lower London to his mom, his father, and everybody else that hit the BET stage to show love and support for him, even though, you know, unfortunately, Nipsey Hussle couldn't be there. But this is something I want y'all to do. I want y'all to go over to my Twitter account. It's at DotKicksTV. And I'm going to post the officer name that his mom talked about, Officer Resurrection. And I'm going to post a link to something that I want you guys to check out and look into yourself. A little bit of background and a little bit of history on this particular officer. Now, this particular paperwork and everything that I found, I haven't been able to find too much else after that. So I don't know. And I'm not trying to start no conspiracies or anything like that at all. But my thing is, with Nipsey Hussle's mom, she has a very beautiful soul. She's very spiritual, and she seems like an honest woman. But I also feel like she took advantage of being on that stage in front of that many individuals, in front of the masses on television and everything, to say some real shit in a coded way. We always talk about, you got these people out here that's sheep, and you got people out here that read into detail. So like I said, go over to DotKicksTV on Twitter, and I'm going to pin that link to the top of my account, and I want you to read it. Everything about it. And I want you eventually to come back to this and leave me some voice messages and tell me what you think. But I'm gonna play this little update of what's been going on with the Nipsey Hussle Eric Holder court case, because the judge in this particular situation have not been allowing media or people to even have cell phones inside of the court cases. So I'm gonna play this little clip and then come back.
We here at Verified making it our priority to follow the case of Eric Holder, the alleged killer of Nipsey Hussle. It's a lot of questions unanswered, and we want to know what's going on. So we're following this thing from the beginning to the end. Right now, our correspondent Mecca is downtown at the courthouse where Eric Holder just had a court hearing. Let's hear what's going on.
Thank you, Michael Amir. I was just inside the courtroom where Eric Holder awaits his pretrial date. Let me describe the atmosphere for you. It was less than 15 people inside. No cameras from the media were allowed. Phones were confiscated. They made it very clear that they did not want this information leaked to the public. So here's the update. The judge is demanding that the people turn over their evidence, which includes video evidence, police statements, and witnesses. one of the witnesses has requested to stay anonymous for fear of their life. I spoke directly to Prosecutor McKinney outside of the courtroom. He stated his reasoning for keeping these transcripts classified is to prevent the media from negatively affecting potential jurors from being biased. This would lead to an unfair trial against Eric Holder. Stay tuned for more information. My name is Mecca, and this is Verified.
I understand everybody's supposed to get a fair trial and all that, but unless there is some other shit going on behind the scenes, there's really no way that this man, Eric Holder, is going to even get off of this particular case. And from the way shit was looking in between the time that he even got caught up at that mental institution, as far as the quote unquote from what I heard about different people that got gunned down in retaliation, allegedly in response to his actions, I'm pretty sure on all sides of the fence, it don't matter what color or what shade of color, Eric Holder gonna have a rough time inside of jail. Like I said, unless there's something bigger going on to this situation, because I can't necessarily say everything that I've heard, because it's not even that it's a conspiracy type thing. It's just some things that's dealing with the streets gotta stay in the street until further notice. Because it's a certain individual since day one, possibly hours after Nipsey Hussle's murder, name kept coming up, and a lot of people from different places that don't even know each other send me a lot of blues clues that kind of point a finger at this particular person that they believe that may have something to do with this. The fucked up part about it is because I know they have that saying that some people are more valuable dead than alive, but Nipsey Hussle was more valuable alive, especially for the contributions and everything that he was giving back to his neighborhood through his music and everybody that he touched around the world as well. Because especially on the music side, I've been rocking with Nipsey Hussle for a long time. And dude was just getting better and better with every song he put out, every single he put out, and definitely every project that he put out. He was getting to the point where he was mastering his craft. He got his brand down packed. And it's not too many artists nowadays that you could put in a CD or put on a, you know, whole playlist of their album and just hit play and listen to it from front to back. It's very few artists that you could do that. You know, if it's 10, 12, 13 songs on an album, nowadays I may like 3 or 4 of those songs and the rest of them are just filler or some bullshit. Or it sounds so much just like everything else that's coming out, it's just there to be there. And the songs are so short nowadays. You know, that was one thing I could appreciate about Nipsey album and this other artist that I'm about to bring up. I don't know how this next artist album gonna be, the Port of Miami 2. For a long time, I've been waiting for this album from Rick Ross to come out. But Nipsey wasn't cheating you out your money, giving you songs that's a minute and 30 seconds and trying to charge you 10, 20, 30 or whatever amount of dollars for stuff. No, he was giving you full albums. But Rick Ross albums damn near to the point where he put himself in a category where I don't even have to too much hear too much before his albums come out to have to support it. But it's always this big conversation around Rick Ross' name. And to me, honestly, it's not that I even listen to it, because I like what I like and I don't like what I don't like. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yes, I prefer for an individual to be about what they're really talking about. And yes, there have been a couple people that have came out and said whatever they wanted to say or had to say about Rick Ross, but I haven't just seen some factual shit other than the CO. My thing is, I know some people that got into the police department that was crooked. There you do have cool COs, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a job at the end of the day. That don't mean that he was out there arresting people or doing anything like that. And I'm not going to back for him or giving him excuses. My thing is, I look at things from an adult vision. The biggest problem that I had out of the whole situation is that he just didn't tell the truth about it when the picture came out. I heard some situation popped off between him and Vlad. I believe Vlad TV is the first media publication to put out the actual photo that came from like Trick Daddy or something like that. But my thing is, if you knew what you said in your mind that you were doing back then, it would have been no reason for you to lie about the situation. Even though I do know this is hip hop and your image and integrity and all that is everything. So at that time in his career, for that type of picture to come out, it could have destroyed his whole career. So I'm not saying I understand why he made that decision, but that's the only thing. I would have just kept it real from the very beginning. But the question is do you care? If you a fan of good music or a fan of Rick Ross or hip hop or whatever, I want to ask you, do you actually care that Rick Ross was a CO? You know, you could leave us a voice message and give us your responses and stuff like that. And the question is, on top of that, do you think the where we at right now inside of hip hop, inside of this society and generation, do you think that these kids even care? Especially having some information and knowing how this whole game worked. But that's so many years ago. If we just focusing directly on the music, there's no way that you can't say that Rick Ross do not know how to put no album together. He's one of the most consistent on his lyrics. He's one of the best beat pickers. I don't know if he played a part in the whole A&R of his albums. And leading up to this Port of Miami, I don't think that he's doing anything as far as the gimmicks type stuff to try to promote it. I'm thinking he damn near gonna let it speak for itself. Now, he did put out this little weary type of commercial ad out on his Instagram, which I know is gonna start a little conversation because I'm talking about it right now. I'm gonna let y'all hear that. Him talking about the Illuminati and people selling their soul and people accusing him of being an Illuminati. Yes, I do believe there's an Illuminati, but one thing that always trips me out, and like I said, that it ain't even about just Rick Ross, but this is something that always trips me out. Every time you have an individual that end up being super successful, that's from the black community, the very first thing the black community want to do is say, oh, you in the Illuminati or you sold your soul. So basically, you just slapping that person in the face saying, oh, you don't have no talent. You didn't work hard. You sold your booty hole just to get to where you at. You didn't put no work for 5, 10, 20 years. You didn't write none of your lyrics. You didn't do none of them tours. You didn't come up with that invention. You didn't do this or whatever the case may be. You take all that away from them to say the reason why you at where you at is because you sold your soul. But yes, I do believe that there are higher ups and people out here that control shit. I'm talking about that just simple and plain. You'll be an idiot if you don't think that that's what's going on inside the United States or the whole world, period. But listen to this little clip that he put out and tell me what you think.
The motherfuckers say, Rosé, they say you're in the Illuminati. And I'm just like you. You know, you be like, what the fuck is the Illuminati? Boy, it's when niggas sell a soul to the devil. And then the devil give you everything. Rosé, you got the biggest house in America. Nigga, the money won't stop. You selling checkers and the wings at Wingstop is spreading everywhere in London. And bitch, you know how hard we go out here? I wouldn't have waited 20 years, nigga, of hard work. So if it was a piece of paper I could have signed up for my niggas to be here, my family to be here, and nigga not just see me live like this, but live this shit with me. If there was an Illuminati, I would have been signed up for that fuck shit.
Selling your soul to me don't mean just necessarily you selling your soul to the Illuminati to get on. It's people doing selling of their souls prior before that. I think damn near dick sucking and selling your soul is almost aligned with each other nowadays. Because you can't tell me that it ain't a lot of niggas out here dick sucking. Niggas, I'm talking about niggas, is fake as hell nowadays. And normally I'm a pro man type dude. And when I say pro man, don't mean like I'm pro man, anti woman. I'm talking about normally I try to stand up for my brothers, you know what I mean? And have a little bit more faith for my brothers out here, you know what I mean? But it's like you get disappointed over and over again when you just see people's actions. People don't respect respect. People don't respect integrity. People don't respect morals. If you have them three things or anything else in that category, you damn near like an alien. You damn near like an alien. And people will try to box you to the side because they're not about that. And we know it's more fake people in this world than real. So all the fake clicking up and helping each other get to the top. And then the real ones so frustrated at the bottom, they're damn near knocking each other off. Because niggas will turn their back on a day one for a bag. Niggas will turn their back on someone that they cool for, act like they don't know them or won't stand next to them for a bag. And I can go on and on about the dick sucking shit that go on because it's all a numbers game since everything is broken down into numbers, even with social media, how many followers and everything you got. You got people that you will talk to on the phone, dap up, that's cool with you, that'll support a motherfucker that they don't know before they even support the people that they do know. It's one big dick sucking contest out here, for real. It's, to me, it's down to like the roles have reversed over my lifetime. The things that I see men doing nowadays is the things that I used to hear people complaining about women doing back in the day. Now it's slowly but surely seem like the roles are reversing, and nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. But go back to what me and Omar was talking about inside of that Omar Gooding interview when I asked him his opinion. I asked him his opinion purposely about what do he think about, you know, networking or just kind of standing off to yourself and doing your work, because that's an obstacle, that's a wall or a question mark that I deal with on a daily basis, because I have attempted to try to get out there and network with different people that I consider my peers in my realm. And seven times out of 10, you run into some bullshit. You run into some hoe ass shit. You run into a whole bunch of people that's in, you know, that's extra niggas that's like not genuine, or niggas that just be like super groupies. That's the weirdest shit to me, period. Like, for real, as a man, that's the weirdest shit to me, period. Is, I understand the whole quote-unquote celebrity to fan thing. I'm not no celebrity. Like, point blank, period, I'm not no celebrity. For people that have been following me for a minute, they know I put the project first. It's not about me. I'm not trying to get fame out of this shit. And it'd be weird to me, like, when I network or try to network with other people, and people be like lightweight groupies. Like, niggas be more wanting to just sit up and talk to you all damn day rather than get work done. Like, it's been times that I put up flyers or put up, you know, digital flyers, like, hey, looking for interns and different things like that. And you have people sending emails and text messages, you know, whatever the case may be. You end up talking to them, and they be more trying to be your best friend than get to the business. I'm like, let's get to this money. And if we can get to this money, then maybe, but maybe after the fact, you know, it could be some form of a friendship or a mutual business friendship or something like that. But say, for instance, with Rick Ross, if you took that CO situation off the table, if that never came out, or you didn't know nothing about that, or even if he never was a CO, whatever the case may be, could you deny this man music? Can you not say, since he came out, who has been more consistent than this man? I'm not saying he is the most consistent. I'm just asking, what's your top pick of who's been more consistent as far as when you catch them on features or lyrics per song, album-wise? I want to get y'all opinion in a voice message. Not saying that people didn't put out more albums or more bodies of work or whatever the case may be, but just the quality of work when it comes out. On top of all the business ventures that he have taken out since he been in the game. On top of that, you got him being a CEO as an artist. I'm talking about a lot of these motherfucking artists, for real, don't even be wanting to really put other rappers on, which is so ass backwards to me. I have seen so many situations where an artist will get another artist that's up underneath them that's dope as hell, and it seemed like they have purposely shelved them because they don't want this person to pop because they trying to stay relevant. But if you got a contract with this particular rapper and you making 10, 15 or whatever your split is with him, the more money he make, the more money you gonna make, which is passive income. So that means in between the time you putting out albums and doing shows, you still got other money coming in from they streamers, from they shows, from they merch, or however, you know, it goes down. But I just don't understand that. I think that's one of the only things as far as the conversations of putting people, because nowadays when people talk about their top five rappers, I don't think that is just about the music anymore in 2019. I think the top five conversation is like a bundle package. You know, it's definitely the music, the relatability of the particular artist, their business ventures, people put money into it, and if they have actually like started some form of a regime or put somebody else on or they label or something like that. I think nowadays people weigh all that possibly and other attributes into that before they put you in the top five. Because, yeah, you can have bars like a motherfucker. But Master P ain't have hella bars. But look what he have done over this long 10, 20, 30 some year time. He's still bouncing back. Got a movie, I Got the Hook Up 2 coming out. Still helping putting other people in position. Young talent off the internet to make money. That's what people respect at the end of the day. That's why people highly respect Nipsey. And once again, it's like there's no way to get around Nipsey's name because of what he accomplished and what he was set out to do within that short bit of time. And to me, that's what should definitely be clicking in everybody's head. It's like the legacy part. Everybody should be talking about legacy, or not even talking about it, looking at themselves in the mirror about legacy. Like, what are you doing? And it don't even mean legacy to the world to be a superstar phenomenon and you just gonna have a parade after your death, but a legacy even just within your intermediate household of what legacy you gonna leave for your kids and your grandkids. But when I talk about legacy, that's why I say people gotta think about the side of the box. And I'm not gonna, because it's not a tech channel, this not an old activist channel. I could just throw it out there and it's up for you to soak up the game and do your own research with your two thumbs on your phone. But until you definitely hear something valid about cryptocurrency ain't real, you need to do your research about getting into some form of cryptocurrency. Everybody may not be able to buy a full Bitcoin, but they got it. It's different than stock. A stock, if it's $100, it's $100. If you ain't got $100, you can't buy it. Bitcoin ain't like that. If it's $10,000 and you only got 200, don't put your last into it. If you don't put nothing into it where if you lose it, you're going to lose everything. You know what I mean? Only put enough in there that you're willing to lose. But you put it in there and let it sit. Have a tough stomach where you can just have patience, because stocks and cryptocurrency go up and down, up and down. But look at the long run and go search some videos about how the whole cryptocurrency blockchain thing work, where it's only so many, I think it's like 21 million actual Bitcoins out there until they quote unquote mine some more in the blockchain and all that stuff. That's for you to look up. But if you really dig deep and look off into that information, and what they say compared to, if there is only 21 million Bitcoins out here in the world compared to all the billions of people that's on Earth, only 0.03, the average person will only be able to have like 0.03 worth of a Bitcoin. And just think about, it's a lot of people out here that don't even know about Bitcoin. Some of them billions, you got to, you know, billions of people, you got to think about, those are kids. They're not even thinking about none of that. So you still got an opportunity to get into Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, you know, Litecoin or whatever it's called. And it's a few other ones that you could look at, XRP, to put your money in and try to let it sit there for 5-10 years. You never know, you may have $1 million sitting on your hand if you got an extra $500 or $1,000 just to put to the side and, you know, let it work itself for, you know, 10 years. Going back to just talking about legacy, but since we on that topic about legacy, I gotta give a big shout out to Twista. He got a new project coming out called Summer of 96. Let's play a quick clip of that so you can see what type of vibe he on, and I'm come back with the rest of this commentary. Acting like I won a championship, feeling like I'm acting, I'm with an immaculate bitch. Balenciaga's walking like a pimp, it's a brand new stacks with a fish, a sack and a fifth. I could do something to put you in a chokehold. Vintage apparel looking so cold. I'm in the room where you don't go. Bosses are having a talk, keep the door closed. Shut up. Got gelato on the wood, your bitch in the whip. I'm cool with that. Gotta take off the hood, I get attention with this. I'm a fool with that. I could be the one that you look at when you see what you want. Yeah. Check out the confidence in my drip and how I do it. Yeah. Diamonds all on my body got me illuminating. Ooh. You niggas is hating, but yet you following my fluid. I'm into it. That's right. You ain't finna take me off of my square. I'm on the wave of my own. Go. Riding through the Milky Way on the carpet like a genie with a sweetie. Blowing no haze in the zone. Yeah. On another level of communication with y'all. About showing you how to ball, so exquisite. Right. If I see you having the ball, I'ma kick it. Right. If I see it up in the mall, I'ma get it. From the lowest on the totem pole to who got it, cause the flow is cold. Ooh. Get you wherever you at. I can work the money by remote control. Nigga know that. Yeah. They be on the scene. Yeah. No sweat. Yeah. With the slow beam. What? I'm an OG. Yeah. Blow an OG. What? And I be so fresh. Yeah. So clean. I know a lot of fans of hip-hop can get lost in the sauce with all this new music that's coming out. Some of it's good. I'm not going to knock all this music. But for a lot of people that can't find no good music, sometimes you got to go back to the artists that you was fucking with back in the day, man. A lot of them is still putting out some classic shit that sound good to your earlobes. For real, for real. You know, one of the funniest things that I've seen in a long time, and it wasn't funny when Michael Jackson got his motherfucking hair caught on fire, I think during the, what was it, a Pepsi commercial or something like that. But this boy, Yo Gotti, this dude, he too cool. He too cool. This nigga performing and his whole damn leg, pants leg, catch on fire. Dude ain't miss a step, ain't miss a beat, kept rapping, kept performing. I'm talking about spent around all while still doing his thing. Someone came and put the fire out. I'm talking about, this ain't like, oh, you know, you dumped your cigarette or your black or your weed, burnt your shirt and it's got a little bit. I'm talking about literally a fire on this nigga leg. Look it up. Literally a fire on this dude leg. I'm talking about he ain't miss a beat. This dude, Yo Gotti, too motherfucking smooth. He too smooth, for real. Now I know that damn show can't stop. It can't stop, especially after that judge just came and cracked him, from what I hear, for like $6.2 or $6.6 million to an artist. I believe by the last name Fletcher, over some bad deal or something that happened, you know. But if you just go, if you obligated to have to kick out that amount of money, and it wouldn't even have been that amount of money. It was supposed to be like $2.2 million, but they said Yo Gotti was not showing up to court. So they end up tripling the whole situation. And Yo Gotti, when he finally did go to court, his defense was that they never properly served him the paperwork, but they served his bodyguard, which his bodyguard, he was basically right next to his bodyguard when his bodyguard got served the paperwork for the whole court stuff. So the judge was like, nah, we ain't feeling that excuse. Nah, nigga, you ain't been coming to court. You wasting the court time, all that. You owe this dude from playing games, put out some song, whatever the case may be. And they, you know, went up on the price on him. My thing, you was damn near better off cashing dude out off the record. Like before that final judgment, like, bro, I got $300,000-$400,000 right now in 20s. No, in 10s. Cause that shit gonna look hella swole to a nigga that ain't got no money. Fuck hundreds, you know, you can come pack hundreds still. That's a lot of hundreds to put that inside a duffel. But like, nigga, I got $300,000-$400,000 in nothing but 10s and 20s. Fully legit outside for you right now. Once he see that big ass pallet worth of money, he gonna be like, okay, yeah, man, fuck it. But I wouldn't shit, nigga. I'll wait. I'm waiting 2 months, 6 months, 2 years, how many ever. It don't matter. I'm waiting for my 6.6. Fuck that. Especially if you did me wrong in business. And it's fucked up. You know, you shouldn't even have to do that. But this business, this game so wicked. You see, that'd be like a little narrative that I be talking about with this whole rap shit. Like for me, I'm not from the industry. I didn't come in this as no rapper. I didn't come in this as an A&R. You know, I came in this where people respected my opinion towards things that was going on in hip hop. And they, you know, I'm not going to say it validated things, but it got to the point where people basically will wait until I do a video on something to see my either quote unquote investigative work and also what my opinion is on the situation. Because my thing is, all you got is your integrity, so I keep it thorough. So that's all I got. But since I didn't come in the game as no rapper and A&R and all that stuff, you know, maybe I just look at things a little bit different. That's why I like to ask artists in their interviews, like, you know, what's the biggest transition that you have had to have to get in the rap game or dealing with the rap game? Because I'm still learning. I'm trying to see how did they go through it. And my thing is, you listening, you an artist or you want to be an artist or know an artist, or even as a fan, to really just know how cutthroat this game is. Because honestly, you do certain shit in the streets, you know what the quote-unquote repercussions are supposed to be. But in the rap game, niggas a dude down there spit in your face, metaphorically spit in your face, and still go online and scream they a real nigga, knowing they just did some hoe ass shit or just backstabbed you. The whole game is fake. I don't know, because then that's going to call some people I do respect fake. I'll say 95% of the whole rap game is fake. Some of the key players that was in positions up in them tall buildings in the rap game is not there. They played musical chairs so much, they ran people up out of business, they passed away, or whatever the case may be. And you got a lot of people that don't care about the culture in position. And when you don't care about the culture, you offer the money. Yes, this is the music business. So yes, the business is just as important as the music. But when you got people that's not from the culture in those buildings, they all about the business. They don't care about these people that's coming from poverty situations. They don't care about these people that's coming from situations where this may be all they have, or they're trying to change their life so they're not in the streets, so they don't get shot, or they don't have to shoot, they don't have to kill someone. You know what I'm saying? They don't care about that, because prior to them getting in the game, they already had a silver spoon in their mouth. They probably was damn near born into the position that they're doing up at them offices. And to me, that's why I hold up these rappers a little bit. Some of these rappers that say they come from a certain type of cloth, I hold them to a different type of level. I hold them to a higher standard, because my thing is, I know you can't save the world, but at some point in time, you got to put somebody else that's from your cloth in the game and help them figure it out. Now for today's
nigga what
news. I know y'all didn't hear about this one. This one tripped me out when I ran across this headline. These are one of them headlines that was a headline, but people really didn't look into it. Video shows Nebraska man slashing his own throat in court while on trial for murdering, dismembering a 24-year-old Tinder date.
Man, this is crazy.
Now, this guy, he's 52 years old. His name is Aubrey Trail.
Drake?
Who was on trial for murdering a 24-year-old Sydney Loof with the help of his girlfriend, Bailey Broswell.
Man, fuck that bitch.
He stabbed himself in the neck with an unknown object this past Monday.
Man, this nigga crazy.
And of course, they got like a little video, which they didn't actually, the camera was panned off looking at the judge. And as the camera was panning back towards him, someone had just walked to get up on the stand, and they was curt. The camera was going back to the left, going back towards the man, and they caught it. They was like maybe a second too late to not catch. You just seen him kind of do something towards his neck, and then his whole body just collapsed. You know what I mean? But the rest of the article, a man accused of murdering and dismembering his date with the help of his girlfriend slashed his throat during his trial while proclaiming her innocence. 52-year-old Aubrey Trail
Drake
was believed to have suffocated and dismembered 24-year-old Sydney Loof with the help of his girlfriend Bailey Boswell in November 2017, leaped to his feet during the proceedings on Monday, June 24th, and stabbed himself in the neck with an unknown object. Before he stabbed himself at the Saline County District Court in Nebraska, he reportedly yelled, "Bailey is innocent and I curse you all," according to the Daily Mail.
Man, this nigga crazy.
For real, that's what I said. When I first even read the headline to the situation, when I was just seeing a person, yes, it's crazy, stabbed himself in the neck, but for murdering and dismembering, that's some movie shit. That's some total movie shit. It be some crazy stuff going on out here. Like, we be hearing about the shootings and stuff that go on in hip-hop and in the inner city, but you go out to these far-off places, Iowa, Nebraska, to these real rural areas, and get these newspapers to look up their newspaper articles, you will hear some gruesome shit. It be some gruesome shit going on in this world. But it don't get plastered all over CNN and everywhere. Well, I'm not gonna hold you up, man. I appreciate everybody for tuning in on episode 21 of the No Offense Podcast. Do me a favor, like I said at the beginning of this video, it's a few different things that you can do to show support. One, hit the 5-star rating and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts. Two, share with your friends or your social media. It don't cost you nothing to just share it with your family and friends or your people, or just tag me in it with a screenshot showing me that you watched it. And three, you can show your monthly support with just a minimum of 99 cents. They do have other options that cost more than that, but 99 cents, you're not even gonna miss that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna hold you up too much longer. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the No Offense Podcast. Peace.